good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 12/12/2024, Thursday class. So we'll be sharing our Dhamma following this book, Straight from the Heart, Unit Dhamma Code by me. We are at page 38, Unit Code 139. Okay, as usual, we gather and we have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Yau Si Fo. Namo Yau Si Fo. Namo Yau Si Fo. Namo Wen Su Pu Sa. Namo Wen Su Pu Sa. Namo Wen Su Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. We will continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa dittena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhan pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yuttena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana muttamang vanna kanda kunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhaṃ kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhaṃ pūpaṃ milayati yata idaṃ me kāyo tata yati vinasa bhavaṃ adivāse tu no bhante Paniyang parika pitan anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitan anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now you chant the significance of making this puja offeration to develop aspiration. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of our defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of this marriage, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Siddhi, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer marriage to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Develop this awareness-based meditation using the four support. The first one is relax. Ability to relax completely, body and mind. is the first support that will help you develop awareness within. When you are relaxed, there is no stress, no tension, no worry, no thought process or whatever. That's why your nature, which is basically aware without thought, can manifest. So relax body and mind, very important. Then after that, no need to do anything, no need to know anything, just maintain awareness. Means stay with the awareness, to be in the state of sati or awareness. Means whatever arises, aware, finish. Our true mind is without thought. There is a nature within, there is just aware. So when you maintain awareness, you can be with your awareness nature. Then you can realize your true mind. But initially, it's not easy. Most people think a lot because they do not have the Dhamma understanding. They lack spiritual faculties. And the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya are not developed, not stable enough. That's why they have the opposite five, which is called mental hindrance. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, then restlessness of mind, followed by doubt. These are the mental states that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. It hinders you. And because of that, you tend to stir your mind, create reaction of mind whenever you perceive something through your senses. So this will bring about heedless thinking, heedlessness of mind. When you always react to sense experience, you create thought process. You stir your mind because of wrong thought, wrong view, because of mental hindrance. Sensual desire, ill will are your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. When you arise them, it means you have preference, you have sensual desire towards things that you find attractive or pleasurable, then you develop aversion or dislike towards things that you don't like. Then it can be envy, jealousy, anger, hatred. Then when you don't have the understanding, when you don't know what is going on, you cannot understand life, the nature's law that governs life and existence, you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All these create the restlessness of mind, make you worry, think a lot. So restlessness of mind is a hindrance. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, these are mind states that are very negative. And your mind is never peaceful. Then when you have doubt, also same. You don't know which is right, which is wrong. You don't know what to do. Then you have to make decision. But that decision is based on delusion. So all this hinders your mind. So understanding this, when you maintain awareness, the thought will come. Never mind. Let it arise. But don't pay attention to it. Aware, finish, let it pass away. So any of your senses, you can detect it through your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. When you perceive it, your memory usually will come in to interfere, to create the thought perception, then your habitual tendency, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, they will come in to stir your mind, to create internal dialogue, or what they call chattering. That's why you think a lot, you chatter a lot, you verbalize a lot. And this is heedless thinking, and the thought keep on arising where you have unfinished business. You got a lot of things that you want to attend to, which you fail to resolve it. Inability to be at peace is the cause of heedless thinking. And this is how living beings find it difficult to maintain the peace within, the calmness within, the tranquility and the stillness within. In fact, the moment you are without thought, you are already with your true mind, silent mind, your awareness nature. So relax, maintain awareness, and don't allow the thinking to arise. Aware, finish. Don't allow that thought to proliferate the thought process, to trigger off the chain of thought that will condition your heedless thinking. Then be aware. Whatever arises, just aware. Finish. Third support is continue to maintain awareness until it becomes very stable. So these first three support: relax, maintain awareness, and stabilizing the awareness is very important. Then after that, when you have done it, then you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust, T-R-U-S-T. Trust your own nature to develop the internal meditative movement. Under this fourth support, you will only do it after you have stabilized your inner awareness, your mindfulness, your ability to maintain awareness. Then stay at the heart area. Maintain awareness at the heart area. Whatever arises, aware, finish. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just stay with it and let it slow down and settle down. Be with it. The awareness and the phenomena become one. Then everything will quiet down. The tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind will arise. When you can do it, means the fourth support is starting to take effect. Then what happens is, as you develop the stability of awareness, whatever phenomena you detect, whether it's a vibration or a heartbeat, the awareness and the phenomena become one. Then the mind will become very quiet, very still, and very tranquil, until like there is no more vibration, no more heartbeat, everything still. That is your mind having entered sati. Your vibration all has become very quiet, very, very refined. And this is how you develop the inner awareness nature. So awareness-based meditation is to develop this silent mind, the inner awareness within, not to allow any thought process to arise. So continue to train and develop it. Then when you're already successful and you have the ability to do the first three support, you will know how to do the fourth support very naturally. And when the fourth support stabilizes, you will progress very fast, which means your mind has entered sati. Then when you come out of it, you come to realize suddenly your mind is like always in sati. All your kaya activity and movement is in sati. You are able to be mindful of it, aware, naturally. on its own. Then all your hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, everything is in sati. Then when you see things, the specific phenomenal awareness, that seeing is also in sati. And this is how you develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Means you are ever mindful, constantly meditating, leading to heedfulness. That's how you develop the meditative training. And from there, you will progress very fast. When sati stabilizes, you can insight in the phenomena. You can awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta on your own. Then you can see things as they are. Then you will understand why the Zen always teach you have two minds. One is the true mind, silent mind, inner awareness nature. The other one is the manifestation from it, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the thought process. That one is dependent, originating from that nature. See it clearly, then you will understand the Dhamma very deeply, very profoundly. Okay, with that, I let you meditate on your own. Then I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to develop it until very stable, so that you are mindful in the midst of life. When you can do that, your mind will enter sati, and your daily mindfulness will be very stable. You have to reach that stability to progress in awareness-based meditation, because without awareness, the mind thinks a lot, mundane thinking keep on arising, mundane activity keep on moving non-stop. That's why you think a lot, you become heedless, you become constantly lost in thought, because you are not mindful, you cannot understand what is going on in life. And without mindfulness, you cannot develop wisdom. Wisdom can only be developed or awakened to when your mind is completely tranquil, still, quiet, awake. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atha gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam dhamma svanankalo Ayang badanta, dhamma svanan kalo, ayang badanta, dhamma svanan kalo, ayang badanta, namo atasa bhagavato, arahato sama sambuddhasa, namo atasa bhagavato, arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Kittipiso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vijjacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko. Ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Nyaya patipano bhagavato savaka sango. Samichi patipano bhagavato savaka sango. Yadidang chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala. Esa bhagavato savakasango. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo. Anuttarang punyam ketang lokasati. Sadhu sadhu sadhu. Then we are continue from where we stop. Then to page 38 of this book, straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code by me. We will review Dhamma code 139 again. We ask Dhamma code, unique Dhamma code 140 is a continuation from there. Okay, you need the Marco 139. One has to learn to accept people for what they are, then to see things as they are. One has to come to terms with the realities of the moment, to accept what is. So this one is what wisdom is all about. When you have the Dhamma, you will understand this. Then like what we have mentioned under unique Dhamma code 137, when one awakens to that state, the true mind can see things as they are without words and conditioning. So when you can see things as they are, you will understand what is going on in life. You will understand the secret of life, that everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Just like what the Buddha said, they have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. So if you don't accept things as they are, you will suffer, because they are all impermanent, leading to suffering. Impermanent is because they are condition arising phenomena, dependent on condition they arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. So when causes and conditions are already set, that is the reality. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. That's why the Buddha say, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So that is the setting for the reality within that moment. So if you cannot accept things as they are, means the reality within the moment, and you want things your way, you will suffer. That's why I said one has to learn to accept people for what they are, and to see things as they are, means without the thinking, without the thought process. The silent mind is sati, the pure seeing, the direct seeing. Then one has to come to terms with the reality of the moment, to accept what is. So as what I have written on the last Thursday whiteboard, basically human being has two minds, but most cultivator may not have the understanding of this. They are only familiar with one of the mind, which is the thinking mind, or what we call the mundane mind. So this thinking mind or the mundane mind is what the thought process is all about. Actually, this one is a result of this one, the true mind. You have another mind, which is basically your true mind. And what is this true mind? It is your pure awareness nature here. That's why I say this pure awareness nature, your true mind, which is a pure awareness nature, or some people call it the Buddha nature, and it is your silent mind. So this one is the first to arise from the source when living beings are born. Then from there, it starts to create the thought process. So the mundane mind is a resultant from the pure awareness. That's why I put this arrow, blue color. So this one is the resultant. From the true mind, it arises. That's why we call it the resultant. So when you are mindful, when you are aware without thought, you are here with your true mind, your silent mind. Then without thought, you can see things as they are, without the word, without the concept, without the interference from the thought process, your accumulated memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. And the true pure awareness is in the direct seeing, is see things as they are without word, the pure perception, the pure seeing, without the word to verbalize, to perceive and give rise to thought process, give rise to concept, idea. This is how the mundane mind and the thinking mind, which is dependent originating from this true mind, create the division, creates the labeling. And when it labor through words, concept and ideology, then it divides and cause misunderstanding, leading to conflict, argument, war, problems. So when you can see these two clearly, when you are with the pure awareness without thought, it is the awareness nature. It cannot do anything. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live like it. It's just the nature inside aware, pure awareness nature. But from here, it creates thinking, thought process. And this thought process is the resultant of causes and conditions. So when you are completely silent and aware and you can see this movement, then you understand how mundane mind comes to be, dependent on what it arises. Then after it arrives, how it conditions you into emotion, into the various mind state of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience. Then how fear come to be, how anger come to be, how what they call sorrow and lamentation come to be, how all your phobia arise. They come to your accumulated memories, your senses, Then you realize they are all dependent originating, dependent on the thought. If the thought is wrong thought, without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, it creates negativity of mind state, and it causes living beings to entangle themselves and develop karmic affliction. And this is how karma arises. And the wrong thought will condition your misery, your suffering. Like what I have taught you, what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your phobia, your insecurity, your lack of faith, confidence, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. All these are wrong thoughts. Then you have to understand that wrong thought is detrimental to your life, because they will result in negativity or action, speech, and thought process. Then it will trigger coming negativity, cause your karmic nature to fall. And all this is what the Buddha is trying to let you understand through right view with regards to the law of karma. Seeing this clearly, then you understand all this movement from the pure awareness into the mundane creation, they are all dependent originating, following nature's law. That's why we call it the Pancha Niyamas. And the three most powerful Pancha Niyamas are the spiritual law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth. Dhamma Niyama means Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. And when you understand these three, you understand Dhamma. Then you understand why living beings are like that, why you are like that. Then you understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and how the mundane mind arise and cause problem through lack of Dhamma understanding, through sakkāyadiṭṭhi, self-delusion, ignorance, avijja. So all this is to enable you to understand that thing is just the way it is. That's why you must have the ability to see things as they are. Means, like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be done that. Means that is the reality, cannot be otherwise. The other way to describe reality is what is the isness of things. So when you can develop the wisdom to accept things as they are, means you can come to terms with the reality. That this is the reality. Cannot be otherwise. Condition like that, things will be like that. This is the Dhamma wisdom that will arise in the cultivator of the way. Then when you know that this is the reality, this is what is, the isness of thing or suchness, then I cannot argue with nature. If I want thing my way, which is not nature's way, I will suffer. Because the truth is, it follow nature's law. It develop into this reality where causes and conditions are set. Wanting things your way is not nature's way. That's why this inability to realize the reality within life is the cause of suffering. Where you want things your way, you have craving, desire. You always react to sense experience where you stir your mind, you cannot accept what happened. You want things your way. And that's the cause of suffering. So not able to get what you want is dukkha. Yeah. Then when you cannot accept the reality of the first four reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, you also suffer. That's why acceptance is very important. The first noble truth, the eight realities, they are the realities of life and existence. If you live long enough, you go through life, you will experience them all. Of course, by now, if you are a Dhamma practitioner, cultivator, you reflect back. The first four is birth, leading to old age, sickness, injury, and death. So this one is a reality. When you are subject to it, when you confront birth, old age, sickness, and death, or injury, with the Dhamma understanding, then you know our form and mind goes the way of nature. It's not an unchanging entity. This one is a phenomenon, dependent originating, supported by causes and conditions, like any other phenomenon. That's why this one is not you. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is you, this is me, this is I. That is delusion. That is avijja, ignorance. So seeing this, understanding this, is very important. Then when you have the wisdom to come to terms with the reality, then you are always at peace. That's why our Dhamma code, which is the unique code that I wrote, I stress on this a lot. Then unique code 139 say, you have to learn to accept people for what they are and to see things as they are. One has to come to terms with the reality of the moment to accept what is. So they are all written on the whiteboard. And they arise based on your awareness, ability to see all this and to awaken to it. Then we continue with unique code 140. Unique code 140 is the wisdom way that my nature evolved and developed the wisdom over the long period of cultivation. That's why I realized that without this wisdom, you cannot come to terms with the reality. You cannot be at peace with all situations that arise. And you will perceive a lot of things or life situations with negativity because of your ignorant delusion. We are wanting things your way, which is not nature's way. So I'll now read to you unique code 140 so that you understand. If you can come to terms with the reality, means you have the wisdom to accept people for what they are. Means deluded people will say deluded things and do deluded things. Angry people will say angry things and develop negative emotion to cause suffering to others and themselves. And selfish people will do selfish things to cause karmic negativity to themselves and suffering to others. So all this refer to the world. And the first aspect of the world is the world of relationship with people. Hence, people are just the way they are. Then the second part of the wisdom which covers the rest of the understanding is the world is the world. Like the Buddha said, it's a condition arising world. When conditions are like that, means suchness, such, then the outcome of things will be like that too. That's why it's suchness. Like the Buddha said, when the causes and conditions are already set, then it will lead to the reality which is manifested. That's why whatever arises, you cannot perceive it in negativity. You have to come to terms with the reality and be at peace with it. Means the acceptance of what happened is wisdom, is most important, and also the most difficult thing for a living being to do. Can you be at peace with all situations? Without wisdom, without Dhamma, you can't. When you see things with your own views, opinion, and conditioning, you're bound to want things your way. You're bound to reject what happened. Because you have perceived things without wisdom. That's why whatever happened, do not perceive it with negativity. For things is just the way they are. If you have this wisdom, then you will always be at peace and there will be no problem. So when you accept the reality, means you don't perceive any life situation with negativity, then where is the problem? Well, what happened is the reality. Take for example, all the First Noble Truth, eight reality. When you confront always sickness and death, even injury and birth, do you have a problem? Well, most people cannot accept the reality when they grow old, get sick or get injured, or when they get into trouble. Well, they believe this body is what they are, sacrality. They don't want it to get old, get sick and finally die or become injured. Yeah. So when any of this reality manifests, they develop fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and they cannot accept because the thought arises to compare. When I was young, I was so energetic, I was so agile, I was in my prime, my youth, I can do a lot of things. Now I am so fragile, so weak, so useless. We are aging. And every phenomena, they got their four phase manifestation. First is the arising of the causes and conditions to give rise to that phenomena. Like for us, it's the birth process. You arise from the birth process. And the causes and conditions is there must be a parent with a sperm and ovum. Then it develops conception. Then if the fetus or the thing grow well, then finally the baby can be born. It will take birth. So what happens is, these are reality. If it's a normal birth, of course there is joy. Looking forward to be the parents. Looking forward to celebrate the birthday. And it will make the grandparents, the parents, and all those that have affinity with the family happy. Yeah. But when things don't go your way, when the birth is not in accordance with what is being expected or wished, what happened? Suffering will result. Because if it's not a normal birth, it can lead to complication. It can lead to death or separation, and sometimes expensive medical costs. Yeah. Like when you have a complicated case, cesarean, or the birth process is not normal, you encounter the breach. Yeah. Then sometimes you have complications with having twins or triplets. It's not easy. Yeah. Then as living being goes through aging, they suffer. Well, your senses starts to deteriorate and fail you. Then when your senses starts to deteriorate and fail you, you start to develop a lot of problem. You got hearing problem, seeing problem, health problem. All these are related to life, to existence. And most people who has gone through the youth and the, what they call healthy phase of their life, where they can do wonders, they will regret. They will become afflicted, miserable, because they cannot accept this reality. Most of them will have this negative thought to tell them, why myself die, suicidal thought. I'm now so useless, dependent on people. Then especially you don't have the financial means to support yourself as you grow old, get sick. Disease and sickness nowadays, you know, cause a lot. And it's not easy to confront them. So it leads to financial problem. It leads to mental suffering. There are traumatic diseases that can cause a lot of mental suffering, like cancer, heart attack, stroke, can lead to paralysis and instant death. Yeah. Then it will trigger separation. Then the first noble truth reality of old age, sickness and death and separation all set in. That's why living being can be afflicted. Suffering become a very traumatic reality because you don't have the Dhamma understanding. But as I say, these are reality in asana. Even if diagnosed with a sickness like cancer or whatever, very traumatic. So what? That is the reality. Causes and conditions must have set in. Means there are causes and conditions behind your disease. Some is due to past DNA, past karmic conditioning. Yeah. Some is because they neglect themselves when they are young. They abuse their body. They overuse it. They have not enough rest. Then they do a lot of funny things. Yeah. So all these are the causes and conditions behind, like the Buddha said. When you introduce the causes and conditions without understanding, that is delusion. You drink, intoxicate yourself, you violate the moral causation, the karmic law, you break all your precepts, then the law of karma, when it hit back the karmic repercussion, it can trigger off a lot of affliction and suffering to the living being. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do to living beings or the environment or fellow living beings or society, the law of karma will hit back. You become the victim. You suffer back. So all this, for Dhamma practitioners, they see it very clearly. And they have the ability to accept this reality and move on. But this is reality. You cannot argue what you want is the reality. The eight type of reality that condition suffering. And the Buddha already explained under the second noble truth, the cause of arising or suffering is your sakyadity, self-delusion or ignorance that condition you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind, which is your physical body and your thought process, the aggregates of mind. That one is a phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. Out of delusion, you cannot see, you cannot understand. That's why you grasp, you cling, you hold, and you worry. And all these are mental states that are very negative. It leads to a lot of what they call mental suffering as a result of the karmic friction. Yeah. So this law of karma is very powerful. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. Then you reap what you sow. Do good, beget good. Do evil, begets evil. Later, when you confront it, only you regret. It's already too late. Where you have set the causes and conditions through wrong view, through delusion, through lack of understanding. So all these will manifest. That's why the eight reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, separation, when you are with people whom you don't like, then when you are not able to get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, you will trigger suffering. But that is due to your sakkarity. Then in short, the Buddha said, your inability to have the direct seeing via the silent mind, the true mind, to awaken to the understanding that this form and mind is just a phenomena, dependent originating, condition arising, karmically conditioned out for your form and mind to arise in this world. This existential world, dependent originating world. And this one is just a vehicle and a tool, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. So do not be deluded. But this one is subject to karma. You cannot simply act and do things according to what you want. This one you have to understand is subject to karma. So if you go against the nature's law of karma, which is the moral causation, then the karmic law will have its effect on you, and you will suffer. So understanding all this, the Buddha asks you to develop mindfulness, to be aware of all this, so that you will not be deceived and deluded. Well, the final summary of the first noble truth is, it is due to your sakkarity, your self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects, which is the human being and his thought process, that he called dukkha. Understand that final summary. To understand that, you must understand what are the five aggregate, then put it to test and awaken to it, so that you will never violate it. If you know the cause is attachment, craving and clinging and grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind, then why can't you develop the wisdom and live life according to what I have shared with you and taught you under this unique Dhamma code 136 or 135 onward. 135, 136, 137, 138, 139, and 140. So these are very important understanding, very important Dhamma that you should develop. Okay? So far, any question? Anybody want to ask any question? Or add on to what I have shared? It's just on the mind and coming. Anybody? No. Okay, then if no, then we move on. Then we go to Dhamma Pada West. Oh, sorry. The unique Dhamma code 141, which is the next one on page 39. This is a follow-up from 140. Unique code 141. People are just the way they are. Then one will not angry with them because one can accept them for what they are, even though what they say or do may not be right or appropriate. When you have the wisdom to see things as they are and come to the to accept the reality of the moment, it doesn't mean you agree with what happened. You may not have to agree, but that is the reality. And reality can manifest from people's delusion, from people's negative tendency or emotion. That's why you call it a problem initially. But it's not a problem, but that is a reality. They are just the way they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. So if that is the reality, then you accept first. When you accept, you do not introduce your mental states of reacting to what happened. You don't have to get angry with them. You don't have to develop fear out of what happened. You don't have to entangle yourself over what people do, over what happened to the world. You don't have to be afflicted or become emotional over like any life situation that manifests. Which means you have to accept that reality. When I accept, means I am at peace. I do not stir my mind. I do not react. I do not blame. I do not create negativity or mental state or mind state that condition my own suffering and misery and make me violent. Then there is clarity. Then the mind that does not stir and react to having this wisdom, to accepting as they are, the acceptance of what is the reality is wisdom. Then I can have the clear mind to see clearly what happened. Then I inquire, I ask myself, what actually happened? Then the next inquiry is, if I know this has happened, the causes and conditions, then I ask myself, how can I resolve this amicably following the Dhamma way, which is following the Noble Eightfold Path, having right view to accept the reality, then arise the appropriate right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right way of living life, and the four right effort to purify yourself and to develop the understanding to resolve issue amicably so that no one gets hurt, no coming negativity. Because basically there is no right, no wrong. People are just the way they are. The world is the world like we have gone through. Condition like that, things be like that, and they will do things like that. So when you have the wisdom, you can be at peace, then you can resolve it through that wisdom and understanding. Then when you have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path, then every life situation is just a reality. You don't have to perceive any negativity. Then through the acceptance, the clarity of mind, you're at peace, you do not create coming negativity, then you resolve it. And resolving all life situation with wisdom via the Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path, is the Dhamma cultivation. That is how you free your mind. That's why unique quote 141 is the resultant of that understanding. Because people are just the way they are. Then one will not get angry with them. Especially deluded people. They will say deluded thing and do deluded thing and harmful thing. So you can be at peace. You will not stir your mind and develop the anger, the hatred, and curse the fellow or argue this the fellow or that person. How can you do this? You got no right. Then you end up having more argument, leading to misunderstanding. Then when they get angry, they become violent. Then it may lead to complication. Sometimes fight, war, or what they call enmity. Then all this will trigger the chain of coming negativity. We are hatred, we are envy, jealousy, especially hatred. Then sometimes you cause intimidation, fear, worry, anxiety. Then the law of karma is you reap what you sow. In future, people will humiliate you, cause fear in you, and do back the same thing to you. So people are just the way they are is very important. Then you will not react to what happened because they are just the way they are. And when you can have the wisdom to accept them for what they are, even though what they say or do may not be right or appropriate, then you can, through that understanding, plan how to resolve it amicably, following the Dhamma way, the way for path, to avoid any misunderstanding, unnecessary argument, conflict, or negativity or mind state. So all these are very important understanding for you to understand life and live life. So for you to develop the wisdom and understanding to apply the Dhamma. Applying the Dhamma need a lot of understanding. Not only with mindfulness to cultivate all this. Finally, you still need to have Noble Eightfold Path. That's why I say whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you finally back to the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Means what you learn may not give you the wisdom to develop the understanding to free your mind, to have the ability to cease all suffering. Without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot cease all suffering. Because you need to go through life, you need to live life, you need to encounter people, the world, the environment, civilization. You need to be at peace with all things. And that is wisdom. Okay? So, what's the time? Oh, still about 5 minutes. Okay, I move on to the next unit code. It's related. When there is complete acceptance of what is, means the isness of thing, the reality, one will be at peace. So this is very obvious, isn't it? No more reaction of mind to condition your anger, hatred, conflict, fear, and suffering, or misery, or mental affliction. This is right view. That's a right view is having the understanding to have complete acceptance of what is. No matter what people do, no matter what the world is, what the life situation is, the reality is the reality. That is the governing factor. Things cannot be otherwise. Things will just be the way it is. Because this is a condition. When condition is already set, things will manifest into that reality in accordance with the Panchaniyamas that governs life and existence. So understanding this principle can give rise to very unique, stable wisdom that enable one to live life, to understand life, to come to terms with life's reality. Every moment, every instant, then life become meaningful, beautiful. No more negativity or mind state. You have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, leading to peace, tranquility, joy at all times. And the ability to be with your true mind with this wisdom and understanding is wisdom. Yeah. And that is how enlightened beings become noble ones and live their life. Yeah. Leading to their ability to free their mind from all suffering or mental entanglement. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over them. They will not be deceived or deluded by what happened to the phenomenal world, to our conditioned world, to our civilization or our universe. And moreover, they are not real, not what you think. Mind make a day, consciousness arise and pass away. No reality, he know you, he know me. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. That's why the famous Diamond Sutta saying, 一切以为法, 如梦幻泡影, 如露亦如电, 应作如是观. Everything within the conditioned world are conditioned Dhamma, no reality. They manifest, they arise, sustain itself, then pass away. There is no permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is mine, this is you. That's why, wake up, do not be deluded. He know you, he know me. Then why are you so deluded as to cling, grasp, and become miserable over what happened? But it doesn't mean that there is no such thing as the law of karma, no such thing as no meaning to life. No. Within the conditioned world, they have the conditioned Dhamma to govern life and existence. So you understand the conditioned Dhamma and you are awakened to the unconditioned Dhamma understanding, then you understand life. You can live life, then you can be free from suffering, and yet you can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And yet life can become so beautiful, so meaningful. Yeah. And with this understanding, your life take a turn for the better. There is no more suffering in the world. There is nothing in the world that can create delusion or confusion in you. That's why you can be at peace at all times, in all situations within existence. And that is the amazing beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. Without this, you cannot understand life completely. So the secret of life, born of Dhamma, cultivation, awakening and understanding, is the most beautiful, most amazing understanding that living being can receive. Yeah. And there are a lot more understanding that can evolve out of that pure awareness nature. When you go deep into the awareness nature and cultivate the four support, following the Bodhisattva way to perfect yourself until you realize Samasa Buddhahood, then you have the all-knowing knowledge, all-knowing understanding of the whole creation process. And everything that can be understood will be understood. And that is the most beautiful, ultimate realization of perfection that any living being can develop. Yeah. But when you develop the complete understanding, you realize the oneness nature, then you realize that one is not you. It's not a permanent and changing entity, it's not an individual being. That one is the nature, the oneness nature, the source, where everything begins, where all creation comes about. That's why from there it starts. And that is the void. From zero, empty, it starts. That's why empty nature of existence, empty nature of life, the phenomenal world, they are all empty, not what you think. Because they have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. If they are anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, how can there be any reality? That's why do not be deluded. Develop the wisdom, the awareness to insight into all this, awaken to all this. Then that mind transform. Especially when you can develop the profound wisdom until the mundane mind collapses, your pure nature shines forth, then you continue with the cultivation, this type of wisdom can be perfected, can be developed and understood. Okay, so today one I think is enough. Eh? Okay, I will stop here. You need the Marco 142. Huh? Okay, now we come back to the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation or the teaching, which is the Dhamma. Then also you can share if you can have any cultivation experience to share with all other Kaimita on Dhamma in daily life, what you have realized and encountered through your cultivation and practice.
Hi, Brother.
Yeah.
But, don't know what to talk about.
Oh, do you have any question regarding today's topic or your own meditative question or Dhamma question? Anything that you want to develop further understanding or add on to what I have shared? We have shared a lot of things about the reality, what is, and how to develop the wisdom to see things as they are, and to act and live life following the Dhamma way, which is applying the Noble Eightfold Path. Today one is a very complete summary of cultivation. It links all the understanding together.
I noticed that as I cultivate, earlier when I start to cultivate, there is always this urge of wanting to react. That means I am aware, and
wanting things your way.
yes, but there is still that urge to come out and react. But you know, it's like trying to stop myself, lah.
Yeah, but there is a habitual tendency that is doing this movement. Then when you have the Dhamma understanding, you realize this is not correct. Yeah, this is your wrong thought, wrong view, habitual tendency that condition it to move. Then the question you need to ask yourself is, and contemplate until very clear is, why did I do that? How come I continue to stir and react? Means, trace the origination factor. Means, behind is your habitual tendency. How does it arise? Because you have been doing it so often until it become habit. Means your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. All these are so strongly ingrained and accumulated in the living being's memory. That's why that movement, that habitual tendency, is very difficult to root out. Right, very difficult to reverse. It's just like in the office, the old culture, very difficult to change. You want to change over to a new culture or do things differently, it's very difficult. But people are so used to the old way. So your views, opinion, condition and belief system may be the result of your karmic past and whatever you do life after life, including this life, but you are just the way you are. So cultivation means the awareness that see all this, understand all this, inquire. Why did you do this? Trace the origination factor. So when you know it's wrong view, wrong thought, what must you do? Means you cannot accept what happened is due to your old conditioning, views, opinion, belief. So you must straighten your view. How do you straighten your view? We are asking, why did the Buddha say, learn to see things as they are? Then how I add in by telling you, the Buddha say, when condition is like that, things will be like that. That is the reality. That is what is, the isness of things. You cannot fight it. Then to let you have the wisdom to come to this understanding and develop the acceptance, I share with you the most important understanding. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. Means angry people do angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. And like today, I share with Sui on the way here. If you look at living beings, their mind, their consciousness is always on the move, actively interacting, developing the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the interaction, then the thought process. Each and every one you can see when your nature is sensitive, you can feel them. Then what happens is they are just the way they are, understand? All this will become the total summation of the collective consciousness. And like I told Sui, when I was walking through the market this morning, all those in the marketplace, they may be buying things or talking or observing or looking at the goods and all things. Every one of them, their thought process is different, the karmic behind is different, the consciousness that they manifest is different. But they are just the way they are. And each and every of these, without any of this, the world will not be what it is today, understand? The collective consciousness will not be what it is today. But because of that, the world is the world. Then I say, it's not only SS2, the whole of PJ, the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, even our planet Earth, every individual, 7 to 8 billion, they are all interacting, creating, moving. Then beyond our this one, there are other life forms within the galaxy, star system, world system. That's why our universe is very vast. And all this collective consciousness, although it's in the form of individual form and mind, they have their individual unique karmic process and all things. So when it comes to cultivation, means each and every of the cultivator, in order to break free from all this delusion or conditioning, you need to have the mindfulness and awareness to see and inquire like what I teach you. You have gone through part of the cultivation. You have seen how you stir, how you react. But your problem is you always say it's very difficult to root it out. It always still happens. And you try to suppress it or control it. No, suppressing and control is not the wisdom. The wisdom is when you understand, you don't have to do anything. Means what? When you understand, you accept them for what they are, have you got to do anything? Don't you, isn't it? And when you accept the reality, you are at peace. Your mind does not stir, react, and create all those things. That's why all this movement cannot move. Like I share with some of the cultivators who have progressed quite well, they also know. Sometimes you just laugh at what happened. That is the reality. Why you want to argue with what is? Why do you want to interfere and want things your way? Even your own children is the same. They have their life. They are just the way they are. But doesn't mean you don't act, understand? You accept them first, don't argue with them, don't complicate matter. Then you wait for causes and conditions for you to manifest and share your understanding. Then when the time comes, they really need advice, they will listen. Otherwise, no point. Don't try to change people. They are just the way they are. So understanding all this, understanding will lead to the cultivation of how to develop all this. That's why your inquiry is very important. Why did you stir your mind? And how you trace the origination factor. Then after that, retrospectively reverse it through straightening your view. So to straighten your view is very easy. Means you have not developed the ability to accept things as they are, to accept the world as the world, to accept people for what they are. And this one need contemplation, need cultivation, need to contemplate until very clear, until it's part of you. Then the anicchang dukkhang anatta, the universal characteristic, not so real. He know you, he know me. It's just a form of mind. Form of mind arguing with form of mind. Form of mind creating all the anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. Why you want to entangle yourself with it? Why you want to be part of it? Have you not suffered enough? Have you not have enough of the game of suffering? Tongku that you see. All this understanding will give rise to wisdom and allow you to have the wisdom to stand above all this and transcend all life situations. So understanding via the Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way, to see things as they are, to accept the world for what they are, to come to terms with the reality, to see things as they are, is very important. Okay, Manyak, can follow?
Yes, Radio.
That's how you continue to cultivate and progress. Inquire, why did you still stir? Don't try to suppress and control. That way is the thought telling you, I must not have this emotion, I must not react, I must not get angry. So what you do? Suppress, don't want to get angry. No, you must. You must straighten your view.
Yeah, right. Sometimes I do ask myself, how come I was not able to accept things as it is?
That was very important inquiry, yes. How come you are not able to accept things as they are?
Yeah, then when I think back, it's like, actually, small matter, why? Why I think that at that point in time?
Yeah, because at that point in time, the habitual tendency straight away manifests. Understand? It's a habit. Understand? You cannot root it out until your wisdom stabilizes, until you can see things as they are and you laugh over it. Instead of reacting, you laugh. You see? Then you will be able to say, I'm sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding or problem, forgive me. You will respond this way. You no longer, who the hell are you? How come you so cocky? How come you do things like that? This is not the place for you. Then you end up arguing with people, creating more misunderstanding and conflict. Because that guy also may not have the Dhamma. Understand? He has the Dhamma in the first place. He would not do such thing or creates a situation. So cultivator must understand all this. They are just the way they are. Accept them for what they are. And that acceptance is not easy. You need wisdom. You need to stabilize the understanding. So despite teaching you all for so long, only a few kayamita can do that. That's why you need to develop the understanding and stabilize the understanding until one day you realize, like what you share with me, but now different already, not like last time. In fact, you have improved a lot. Last time you very sensitive, very easily disturbed by situation, especially your colleague, your office staff, and people whom you have relationship with. Even your own parents, your brother, and all things. But even your cousin, I remember you told me about your cousin. So all this understanding, you reflect back, then you understand that to a certain state, you have improved. You are able to like come to terms with most of them now. But the new one which you haven't encountered before, or more deeply ingrained one, which you have not contemplated on. And that one still move you, still cause you to react. But immediately after that, your yoniso manasikara will prompt you, hey, that is not the way to stir and react. You have to learn to see things as they are and accept them for what they are. And then you contemplate and reflect. And then you remember what I say, they are just the way they are. Being deluded, they do deluded things. Being selfish, they do selfish things. Being angry, they do angry things. And they are just the way they are. And then this type of wisdom easier to come to acceptance. You never say he is right or she is right. You say they are just the way they are. Can follow?
Yeah, right. Yes, yes.
Mm.
Yeah, right. There are certain things that I find that I'm able to like relax already. Like, you know,
you are more relaxed and you can accept them for what they are already. You do not like last time very fast emotional and feel agitated inside. Busong, no more already.
Yeah, like, you know, I have a certain level of cleanliness, you know, that I think that should be like
maintain that standard.
Yeah.
But people are just the way they are. That's
Yeah, correct. So not that bad anymore. I mean, dirty,
correct.
Don't mind, just wipe it off.
Because they are just the way they are.
So there are certain areas that I see myself as but not so sticky anymore.
Yeah, you already transform and change quite a bit. But to root out, to have the wisdom to deal with all life situation is not easy. That one needs stability or understanding. Means the real understanding manifests when you can apply to all situations, not only to a particular situation.
Then I find that, you know, when people behave in a certain way, I'm more tolerant.
That is the result of your understanding, your cultivation. Otherwise, you cannot change and become like that one, which is good, sadhu.
Like earlier this year, there was a few of my colleagues, you know, actually more than 20 of them, they wanted to interview for a manager position. So there was one colleague of mine, you know, I guess he thought he has a very high chance because the boss actually asked him to apply. But my boss was also a bit horrified, you know, when he got so many candidates at 21 over. He was saying, oh my, how to choose? And some of them were like staff within the same department. So, you know, there will be people who will be very unhappy if they don't get it. So, exactly what happened. You know, eventually, not within the same section got it, but someone outside the section, but still within the department. You can see like those who apply for it, got very mad. Don't like the person who got promoted.
Most of them have the thought that tell them, hey, this time must be mine, because they believe they have done very well. But like you say, there is only one person who is entitled to be promoted. But there is only one post. So it's quite normal. Then of course people will attribute to different reasons. They say favoritism I didn't bode in Bahasa, the boss and now. Or I'm not close to the boss. These people, how can they make decision based on that? Then I don't know how to go around pleasing senior, more senior staff that make the decision. So these are the thought that will spin off and create a lot of this unhappiness. Then when you understand, it's still the reality. They are just the way they are. It's just like any world championship. There can only be one champion. Maybe sometimes very rare joint champion, but very rare. So you have to expect the number up there is like the pyramid at the pinnacle. It's only one or two. Then only the top, how many player or team can enter the final. Or they call it the like IWF, or BWF, badminton, the Doha, for God's sake. So all this is the reality of what society is. And these are very common. But one thing you can gauge whether you have progress or not is, are you more happy, more peaceful? For you, I can see the change. You are so happy nowadays. You have so much more joy. You smile a lot. You have a lot of joy. Can see one. You have become different. Last time you were very moody. Small thing can disturb you. Then you sometimes not only don't agree, you tell me, but you, they do this to me. They like that one. How can that? So all these are the result of the earlier lack of understanding, because the thought hold on to all this, the right and wrong, like your measurement, like your level of cleanliness and all those things. Because when you meet somebody who don't have that type of policy, then you will find it very awkward. Wow, this fellow, how come he like that one? You cannot blame them. Well, they are just the way they are. If they come from a kampong or village or what, like in the early day, when we come from small town, we do think the way our culture is, how we are exposed to. So it's very different. It's just like that time, I remember, first year we came down. We from Alostar. You know what they call us? They say, oh, Ketagu. Means the cow from Kedah. Ketagu means Sopakau and very little exposure. Then we speak Hokkien. Kena scolding by the KL boy. The fellow come and say, Lito hai kolompo. Kong kong dung wa. Very loud some more. Then later on, we realize our class, majority Penang, Alostar, Johor, all Hokkien one, even Terengganu. Then we realize our number is so much more. Then we tell him to shut up. That was the best joy. He end our learning Hokkien in order to understand what we say. Initially, he very snobbish, and very, we call it cocky. He thought KL must speak Cantonese. But KL actually, the good top student, they actually, most of them go overseas or get very good university overseas. So those who really enter local U, they are smaller in number. Smaller in number. So like, my year, 200 over student, the biggest one is Penang. Penang, the Chongling and the Hanjiang, all those things, they form a very big group. I think Chongling alone occupy almost 70 out of 210. Well, their maths are very good. And we all Kedah, you know. I was the only civil engineer. The rest are electrical and all those things. Then one mechanical. Then the other state also less. Then we realize a lot of people speak Hokkien. So the reality is different. And when you realize the reality is different, that's why your place in society is also influenced or affected by that. So sometimes when we live life, we need to be sensitive. They are just the way they are, understand? They've come from their hometown that speak that dialect. So they will continue to speak, and among them, they will interact that way. Yeah. Then Hakka also a lot. We realize all those who speak Hokkien, most of them, the background, all Hakka. Especially engineering, Hakka Lao. Then we speak Hakka. So these are the things that will evolve and manifest as you go through life. And we learn, understand? So Manyan, you brought out a very good topic today. Salute to you. The cultivation part.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, the person who didn't get promoted eventually, you know, they needed him to, you know, he report to me lah.
Oh.
So, yeah, but he did report to me some years ago,
oh.
And there wasn't any issue lah. In fact, we worked quite well together.
Oh, very
but this
good.
Time, but this time, maybe after what he experienced earlier in the year, his mood was very different lah. And he was quite rude sometimes, though, when he talked to me.
Oh, earlier on.
Early of the year lah.
Yeah.
Actually, it lasted quite long, you know, for several months.
Yeah, quite common.
And because he, at first I didn't thought of that lah. Then later on, it occurred to me why he was behaving like that, you know. And you know, he either ignore my question. Sometimes I know ask him certain question, he never get back to me, or he just ignore it.
Oh.
Or if I highlight a mistake that he did, he will just quietly change it, but never, you know, acknowledge that it was his mistake. It was like not happy, but still change it like that.
In fact, a lot of work environment is like that. Sometimes due to their what we call their character and their attitude, because they don't like to follow instruction or not. They always say, you think you boss, you know a lot. You want to change? You want me to change? I change lah. Then that emotion is there. Or they are not happy. But over time, I think they will learn all this and realize that the way they speak, the way they interact, and the way they approach a work issue actually demonstrate whether they are eligible for promotion or not. Because you normally evaluate them on how they respond. So these are all the important things that normal bosses would look at. If you not serious about your work, not hardworking, then how can they expect to have a good report or evaluation? Can't. So most of the time, the situation is the result of what they are. But of course, being staff is always like that. They still believe they deserve it. And they always have this negative thought. My boss is not fair to me. My boss does not understand me. My boss does not really appreciate what I do. Then some, they have their selfish intent, like you say. They most of the time not around. Then in the work environment, we also have the situation. The hardworking, the good one, they very fast one, they respond. But the one that is not responding one, really, especially government department, you can't do much. But I have my way of going around the thing and manage to talk to them nicely and get them to turn around and do whatever work Like I shared with you last time, one of my junior tech, he got pasar malam. Then after pasar malam, very late, very tired, he came to the office. He is a what they call a junior technician that do skill work. He was so tired, he slept more during work hour. Then I went with my technician. I caught him. And he initially didn't know I was there. He somehow very loud when my TA or technical assistant wake him up. Hey, boss in it. He didn't hear. Then he scold him. He said, I am sleeping. What the hell you are disturbing me? Then when he say engineers in it, he look how he panic. He really panic. After that, oh, Tuan, sorry, sorry. Then he plead for forgiveness. So I said, Tapa, Tapa. I said, you do the, do the. I said, I'm not tahu mengapa you tidur. Then he explained to me, he said, his salary, right now he got a big family. He need to do 2 jobs. I said, okay. After he explained, I said, sekarang I tahu. Then I suggest to him, I say, why not we resolve this amicably? I say, you're tired, you want to rest, you want to sleep, you can, but you must deliver your work. I say, whatever work the TA give to you, you finish it. You finish it, the rest of the time you can rest. Or after you rest, you work, you finish before you leave. Well, after that, he's very happy. Then he become very hardworking. That's why different people you need to approach it differently. Give them a chance. Then they will actually feel the gratitude when all the thing. Then after that, my TA talked to me. Said, now he is very popular. Last time, nobody want him on our TA. The job you give to him, he never get done on because he's so tired. But now they realize after he gone through that incident, he really do his work. Of course, not that efficient as a very diligent junior technician, but he's skillful. He can do, actually. But you need to understand him. He got his mood on. Then later on, he also feel happy because people like him already. Last time, everybody write him off. Later on, I found out, because after nobody want him, then I assigned to another TA. That TA came in and talked to me. He said, Mr. Teo, you give this junior tech to me, it's like not giving to me. He doesn't deliver. Never mind. He said, you can rest assured this week, nothing done. I will try to think of somebody else to help out. Then he wait for the good one, hardworking, diligent one. After he finished, free already, he'll call him and say, hey, you call me and I bring you over, you help me. Then he blanja him makan. That's how they get the work done. So sometimes, being a TA, you also need to have understanding. And these are skillful approach to getting people to help you deliver or do the work. So all these are life skills, real, what they call career environment situation that you can learn from and develop as understanding. But the law of karma very fair. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because. So avoid trying to cut corner and do all those things. Then also accept them for what they are. If they're not happy, never mind, let them be. You don't be affected by them. Then when they find out the actual reason and they know your character and your nature, somehow or other, I feel, they respond very well. Like when I was working, everywhere I go, people like me. So there was one staff that actually get some reprimand. I reprimand him and I give him warning. But end of the day, he appreciate. Then I found out, I cannot blame him for what he do. Where his whole family, very intelligent, good at study. Everybody is a master degree and beyond, PhD, except him, new graduate, but from Bangladesh. But he is a hardworking guy. But sometimes he do think his way. Then when he reprimand, he got so angry. Because in his family, their family very well respected. Well, nobody there to reprimand them. So the situation become like that. And finally, I caught him doing something wrong. Then I didn't really report him or take action, but I resolved it amicably. Then he start to appreciate. Then after that, he came and apologized. And he found out from my secretary. Actually, my secretary, after I went to the site, I saw him missing. Then I asked the admin staff there and the people there. Oh, they say he got something, he went out. I say, why did he went out? At least he should inform me. And I call my secretary. The secretary said, no, he didn't call. Then I say, okay. I tell the admin guy, when he come back, ask him to call my secretary or my office. Then I want to know. Oh, yeah. Then he came back, he panicked out. But he turned around and tried to be garang. He said, how can you spy on me? How can you do this to me? I told him, you think I spy on you? He said, my admin staff say your secretary every 15 minutes call up. Yeah, lah, so that he know whether you are back or not. And I said, otherwise your admin staff can help to cover you that all. Oh, after I left, you came back. You know, I told my secretary, if he say he's back, call him, talk to him. So he kena. But later on, he appreciate, because he want to apply to do his master in Singapore U. Then he wrote me that resume and that thing. I look at it, I told my secretary, ask him to see me. So he thought I'm going to screw him up. I said, you are applying for a master degree to Singapore U, you know. How can you write a resume like that? You will never get the thing. Then he panicked out. He said, then how should I write? I said, you have done your work. You have followed what I instructed. There is a lot of things you can write. Yeah. Then finally I said, okay, this time I help you, I do it for you. I said, when you need it. He said, you have to send in tomorrow. Okay, I said, tomorrow by 10 a.m., my secretary will have typed the thing and you come and collect. Then he ran. The way I write, well, I very experienced. Wow, he was full of joy. He apologized to me and thanked me. He said, that CV becomes so different. But the work he do with the site actually can be a very good CV for him to get the call. Then he got it all. With pay someone in Sing Dollar. He called me from Singapore. He said, Mr. Teo, thank you so much. He said, I have good news. He said, they accepted me. Well, we pay in ringgit. In Singapore, he received in Sing Dollar. And he was so happy that he was admitted as a foreign student, a foreign immigrant, migrant. But he's a real engineer.
Patrick. So,
That's how all this become possible. So like I say, law of karma very fair. He must have in the past helped people before, otherwise he cannot encounter such condition. So this is a blessing in disguise. So in life, in career, a lot of things can happen. Okay, Manjuan, the alarm went off already. You can summarize?
So usually I will try to relax first, observe, and this can like, you know, last
very good. Very good.
A few months on that person, whoever I think is giving me a tough time. And then eventually, there will be a solution, you know? In my case, that colleague actually turned around and, you know, it was It took many months, brother, because it just relax and accept him, like you say.
What he
And of
is or
course,
what she is, yeah.
yeah. So when I observe or relax, of course, inside sometimes it's not so relaxed, but I don't heat up.
Yeah, normal.
After a long period of time, then you will know, you will understand why that person is like that.
Yeah, they got reason one. Uh,
I got definitely got reason one. And the
yeah,
reason
yeah,
sometimes when you know already, you
yeah.
will sympathize with him
Yeah,
also.
yeah, yeah, yeah,
And maybe it has nothing to do with you also. It's not
yeah.
your
Yeah, yeah,
problem. Ah,
yeah.
the problem came from him. I mean,
Hmm.
yeah, that means, I mean, if you get angry with him because you think that the prob he did something wrong to you,
Yeah,
to
yeah,
me, and then but actually it is not about me. It is
yeah.
him. I mean, if you observe enough, then I will know that actually it is nothing lah. And he
Yeah,
will also realize, and he did also, like Radio said, apologize, and he
yeah.
told me
Apologize.
why he like that, and he said he will not be like that anymore.
Ah,
Yeah,
sadu.
so
That is very good. Yeah.
that was very good, but must
Yeah.
have a lot of patience to look
Yes,
lah,
yes,
to
yes,
bear with
yes.
him. Yeah, like
Very
that lah.
true. Yeah.
Yeah,
Good.
that's my
Sadu.
just that. Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's share merits. Aka sata ce pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu lokasasana itawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe dewa anumodantu sabasampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo deo sadakalena sasa sampati hetoce Fito bawatu lokoce, raja bawatu dhammiko, imina punyang kamina, mabe bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy one. Let me end there.